The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Her mind was at full throttle, all the way to elderly cousin Elizabeth's house. Since the angel Gabriel had revealed to Mary that Elizabeth, too, was having a miracle baby in her elder years, it seemed like the only place to head. Who else could possibly understand? Who else could converse meaningfully about these strange happenings in these days interrupted by divine activity like none the human race had ever known? She dearly loved Joseph, and her heart longed to meld with his in acceptance of God's plan for the both of them. But Joseph was not ready. His struggle with her heavenly news would need the Holy Spirit's special attention. For now, Mary would head to the one place she knew at the very depth of her bursting heart that someone would match her amazement and fully share her joy. What had to have amazed Mary the most was that God had chosen her. In her moments of progressive realization, it became clear that she was the one spoken of in prophecy. She has always tried her hardest to be a very good girl. She was loyal and obedient to her parents. She was devout in her prayers and in her pursuit of scriptural knowledge. But she knew fully how very far from perfect she truly was. Her faithful prayers had petitioned her Heavenly Father for grace and for forgiveness and for mercy showered upon her. But never, never in her wildest dreams did she ever foresee she would carry that salvation. God's one and only Son in her own womb. And her arrival at the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth brought only more amazement. She did not need to share one word of her news. Elizabeth already knew. Her cousin rejoiced over the leaping of her pre-born baby in her own womb at the sound of Mary's voice. And she then added a most revealing question. Who am I, or rather, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The Holy Spirit was yet to accomplish his full work in the mind and the heart of Joseph. But Elizabeth, she was fully up to speed. Mary entered her home carrying a most blessed baby in her womb, and Elizabeth complimented Mary for believing the gospel and for accepting her role in God's saving plan. But listen again to the next words out of Mary's mouth. She could no longer restrain herself. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Her soul desired to glorify her Lord, and out of her erupted a gorgeous song of praise. And what was the very first item on her prioritized list for which she praised her God? Her own salvation. While she certainly was including the salvation of all the other human souls that needed saving from creation to that day and to this and to the final day, Her expression makes it clear for every human being who would ever hear or read Mary's song that she rejoiced that she was saved. The God who had come to save his people over and over and over again in their wayward history had now entered her womb, had entered history and come to save her. She marveled more than once at the personal nature of God's salvation. Mary knew exactly what it meant to have God's only Son, the Savior of the world, growing in her womb. We would be told, will be told later in the Gospel of Luke that she treasured carefully and stored away in her heart and mind every last little thing she experienced, every word that was spoken to her on this subject from that second that Gabriel's brilliance first flashed all around her. Mary was a deep soul, and she contemplated all of these things very carefully. Everything that God had revealed in his word that she knew from her time in the synagogue school and listening on Sabbath days of the prophecies of the Old Testament, and all of this new word of God personally spoken to her by angel and Holy Spirit. And Mary teaches us an exceptionally simple lesson this Advent evening. Never, ever overlook or underplay the majestic truth that God comes to be our Savior. Mary had known this truth her whole life. Mary, like anyone else listening to God's word, had been confronted about her sins. She had participated in the appropriate sacrifices. She had made her confessions. She had spoken her prayers. She had received absolution from the Most Holy God. And she had raised her voice with her fellow believers in weekly response of praise. And if it ever seemed at any point to get a little bit old hat, it never, ever, could ever be that again. God had made his salvation very personal for Mary, just as he does for you. Mary is your sister. Oh yes, she is the mother of our Lord, the chosen vessel of God to bring his salvation into the world, but in her needs and her hopes and her physical frailties, Mary is our human sister as much in need of salvation as any other human being who has ever lived. Consider her a mentor. Read her song. Listen to her words. Turn them over and over and take them to heart. Contemplate every one of them until you fully realize what she proclaims to you today, as she expresses her adoration of her Father for his salvation, for placing that child in her womb. God comes to save his people. If you don't need or feel the need for God's saving of you, then you truly do not understand. You do not know everything you need to know about yourself and your world and God's holy will. Don't wait another day. Take up God's word. Hear God out. Let him reshape your thinking, your believing, and your measuring of yourself. and your life until you finally have as full a realization as Mary, an awareness of and an amazement over this profound, eternally jolting, wondrous reality. God comes to save his people. God comes to be our Savior. Let's stand and sing together Mary's song as you find it printed next in the worship folder.